The book of Ruth, chapter 4, please. The book of Ruth, chapter 4, verse 1. Then went Boaz up to the gate, and set him down there. Behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Who such a one? Turn aside, sit down here. He turned aside and sat down. They took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. He said unto the kinsmen, Naomi that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech. Verse 5, Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabite, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. This was the manner in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. This was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. Boaz said unto the elders, and unto all the people, Ye are witnesses this day that have bought all that was Elimelech, all that was Chilion, Malon, of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Malon, I have purchased to be my wife. Verse 14. The women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, and his name shall be famous in Israel. Verse 16. Naomi took the child and made it in her bosom, and became nurse unto him. The women, her neighbors, give it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. I trust God will bless this chapter to all our souls. We have been going through the little book of Ruth. We noticed in chapter 1, it was the thought of restoration. Dear family getting away from God. Not only the parents getting away from the God and the house of God, but they dragged their family with them. You see, no man liveth unto himself. No man dieth unto himself. We affect someone. If we're going on for God, we affect the people that we meet for good. If we're away from God, we affect them for evil. Just as this dear man and his wife got away from God, they dragged their family into the land of Moab. Chapter 2, we notice the thought of service. Dear young Ruth had that threefold request. Let me go, let me glean, and let me find favor in whose sight? In the field of who should be gleaned. Chapter 3, the thought of fellowship. We have to be clean. Wash thyself. Anoint thyself. Change thy garment and get thee done. Now when we come to chapter 4, in chapter 3 it was a private scene. In chapter 4 it's a public scene. In chapter 3 it is the midnight of darkness. In chapter 4 you've got the morning of redemption. The main thought in chapter 4 is redemption. And Ruth is out of the picture. She takes the second place. Boaz is everything in this chapter. It's all Boaz. The same thought is found in Leviticus chapter 16. The high priest, he went in alone. Israel waited outside. And when it comes to the redemption of your soul and mine, we have nothing to do with it. It's all our heavenly Boaz. We stand back and watch him perform and fulfill every obligation and satisfy every legal demand. I think when you come to chapter 4, you've got to know a little of the thought of the kinsman redeemer. In Leviticus chapter 25, Deuteronomy chapter 25, you've got the law of the kinsman brought before us. And I think if the younger folk would grasp this teaching, you'll find it is in every part of our Bible. Number one, the kinsman had a fourfold requirement. He had to meet it. And the first thing, the first requirement, he must be related. A stranger was not allowed to perform this work. He had to be related. Do you remember when in chapter 3, Boaz said there is a nearer kinsman than I? And then you have again, Boaz give this other kinsman the opportunity. He refused. And Boaz was the near kinsman. Number two. What should I say? Every requirement of the law had to be met. All legal demands had to be settled. If there were any demands that the estate had to meet, the near of kin had to perform the job. Thirdly, all debt had to be paid up, liquidated. Fourthly, the widow, the kinsman had to marry her. Those are the four requirements. Relationship had to be legally established. The demands of the law had to be met. The redemptive price had to be paid. And the widow had a rightful claim to marry her kinsman redeemer. Now when you come to the New Testament, in the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord Jesus there proves his right as a kinsman, proves his relationship. For you'll find his genealogy is traced right back to Abraham. Mark's gospel, he vindicates the law. He comes to the estate and he removes all obstacles. And when you come to Luke's gospel, the debt is liquidated. Did he not say, I've come to give sight to the blind? I've come to set the captive free. And in John's gospel, you see the Lord Jesus as the bridegroom. Now, getting back to our chapter, verse 1. Then went Boaz up to the gate and set him down there. Number one, you have the place of redemption. The place of redemption. The gate in our Bible could be termed the same as our courtroom today. The gate in the Bible speaks of the place where decisions were made. It speaks of the place where judgment was meted out. The gate in the Bible is the place where business actions were transformed. You remember Lot sat in the gate? He was a judge. And the gate in the Bible speaks of authority. Remember reading in the Gospel, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And it just means the authority of hell will not prevail against God's church. And so we have the place of redemption, the gate. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12. That he might sanctify the people with his own blood, he suffered without the gate. The same thought. We read that Boaz went up. He went up willingly, voluntarily. No one had to push Boaz up to that gate. Hebrews again, don't we read? Chapter 1, verse 3. When he by himself purged our sins, sat down. And Boaz went up to the gate, and he sat down. Look up the meaning of the word, sat down. And you will find it carries a sort of satisfaction. When was the Lord Jesus completely satisfied? Only at the cross. When he lifted up those eyes and he said, finished! The work was complete. Father, I have glorified thee in the earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. And the Lord Jesus was absolutely thrilled. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and it sat down. And it carries a thought of complete satisfaction. Boaz went up and he sat down. He went up to the place of judgment. He went up to the place where punishment was meted out. And there on the cross, God who knew my sins laid them on Jesus. And he bore them in his own body on the tree. It was a public redemption. Verses 1 and 2. In verse 1, the other kinsman was there. In verse 2, the 10 elders witnessed this action. Verses 1 and 2, Boaz himself was there. And in verse 11, all the people witnessed this action. The other kinsman, who is he? Let me suggest that the other kinsman represents the old eye. The eye of Romans chapter 7. The old Adam. This other kinsman, he was willing to buy property, but he had no desire to help dear Ruth. No love. He wanted fame and fortune, yes. He wanted to develop in the land business, but when it came to the salvation and the help of dear Ruth, he wasn't even interested. He speaks of the natural man. And the natural man had no ability, no desire to redeem his brother. The 10 elders, who are they? I think the 10 elders would represent the law, the 10 commandments. Those men went up with Boaz. See that everything was done legally. What do we read in the book of Acts? This thing was not done in a corner. When the Lord Jesus died, all heaven witnessed it. All earth witnessed it. And all hell witnessed it. And when Boaz went up to purchase Ruth, it was a public redemption. The 10 elders would represent the law. I love to look at Boaz in verse 2. They took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit ye down here," and they sat down. When was the law satisfied? At the cross. The law was completely fulfilled when the Lord Jesus paid the debt. The law was satisfied. Lord said to the law, "Sit down." What authority. He fulfilled it. Look, please, further down the chapter, verses 4 to 8. In verse 4 to verse 8, you've got the power of redemption brought before us. This redemption was powerful enough to remove the other kinsmen. This redemption was powerful enough to satisfy the 10 elders. This redemption was powerful enough to buy back Ruth. What happened at the cross? My old man was crucified. "Reckon yourselves dead," Paul said. What happened at the cross? The law was satisfied. I couldn't ask anymore. What happened at the cross? I was redeemed. This is a partial redemption. It can remove the other kinsmen. It can remove and satisfy the law eternally. And Boaz could say, "I have bought all." We're redeemed. Verse 9 and 10. There you have the thought of a personal redemption. Look at verse 9, please. Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, "Ye are witnesses this day, I have bought all." What does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 6? We should glorify God in our body, soul, and spirit. Why? You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your soul. Dear Christian, these hands of ours don't belong to us. There it is. These minds of ours, they do not belong to us. Whole body, the whole soul, buried. Isn't that the language of Romans 12? I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is his reasonable death. Dear ones, go home tonight. Unbended knee, offer that body of yours. It's gone. He bought it. It belongs to him. I have said before, when you go into a store and you purchase an article, you don't walk out with it. You got it wrapped up. You take it home with you. God has bought you. Christ has redeemed you. You're his. Body, soul, and spirit. How can we give time to other things and neglect the Word of God? How can we waste time that belongs to him? Naomi, 10 years never could be recalled. 10 years, a swipe out of her life, could never be recalled. Young believer, you belong to God. Every part of your being. Lord said, I have bought all. The book of Genesis wraps itself around 7 married men. 7 men. They were all married. I want to look briefly and just throw it out at 4 of these men. Adam suffered for his bride. Adam suffered in the capacity of a king. For he was in charge of everything. He was head. Jacob, he suffered in the capacity of a servant. Do you remember he served 7 years? And his old father-in-law cheated him out of the one he wanted. He served another 7 years. He didn't complete. Isaac, he suffered in the capacity of a son. He waited for his bride, Rebecca. And Joseph suffered in the capacity of a blameless man. These men suffered before they got their wife. But for husbands, we suffer after we get them. But when you bring this into the New Testament, the Lord Jesus suffered in the capacity of a king in Matthew's Gospel. The Lord Jesus suffered in the capacity of a servant in Mark's Gospel. And the Lord Jesus suffered in the capacity of a son in John's Gospel. And he suffered in the capacity of a blameless man in Luke's Gospel. And so here we have both. He paid the price. He could say, I have bought all. Verse 10, Boaz said, I have bought Ruth. In verse 10, you've got the purpose of redemption brought before us. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, I have purchased be my wife. That's the purpose. You see, in Adam, we lost 3 things. We lost our inheritance. We lost our freedom. And we lost our relationship. That's what we lost in Adam. But Boaz here, he restored the lost inheritance. Boaz here recovered the lost freedom. And Boaz in this verse 10 renewed a right relationship. This is the purpose of redemption. See, in Adam, we lost, but in Christ we gained. Romans chapter 5, isn't it? Read it, and you'll find the little expression, much more, much more, much more. X number of times. Sure, we lost out in Adam, but we gained far more in Christ. So in verse 1, we have the place of redemption. The gate. Judgment was needed. Those elders were there to see that the last penny was paid. Verse 2, the public redemption. The power of redemption. But when you come to verse 13, It was a perfect redemption. Every hindrance was removed. There was nothing between. Every hindrance was gone. Every claim was settled. Both had the shoes. And the other kinsman's mouth was stopped forever. And every desire was fulfilled. Ruth, that poor girl from the land of Moab. Every desire of her heart was satisfied. Was fulfilled. Isn't that what happened at the cross? Every hindrance was removed. And God saved you and I. We could approach God and say, Father, for the first time, every claim was answered. Sometimes, at night, I'm a poor sleeper. I'm saying this for the benefit of the young. Thoughts come into your mind. There's two hymns in the Believer's Hymn Book I love. Number 32, and I think number 93. You feel sometimes unworthy, unclean. In hymn number 32 in the Believer's Hymn Book, there's a verse reads like this. Reach my blessed Savior first. Take him from God's esteem. Prove Jesus bears one spot of sin. Then tell me I'm unclean. Nay, for his precious blood has washed away all sin. Every hindrance was removed. Then the other hymn is, I hear the accuser roar of ill that I have done. I know them well and thousands more. Jehovah, find us not. Oh, it's thrilling to realize the greatness, the power of God's salvation. Your sins, your iniquities, gone. And when Satan plagues you with evil thoughts, reach my blessed Savior. Take him from God's esteem. Through Jesus bears one spot of him. Then tell me, I'm not coming. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in me. That's how he sees us. What happened when you come to Hebrews chapter 10? Three lovely thoughts in verse 2 were purged forever. In verse 10, we are sanctified forever. And in verse 14, we're perfected forever. This is a powerful work. This work that the Lord Jesus accomplished is perfect. The proof of redemption. In verse 13, you've got the proof of redemption. So Boaz took Ruth. She was his wife. No son was born. Notice something missing in verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth. The old label is gone. He's no longer Ruth the Moabite. It's dropped forever. It's now Ruth. And when God saves you and I, our sins are gone. Our past is wiped clean. Ruth is seen with the old label gone. It's just Ruth. This second proof of redemption, a little boy was born from that union. You remember Elimelech and Naomi From that union, two boys were born, pining sickness. But Boaz and Ruth, from that union, a little boy was born. You know his name means?
Worship. Worship.
That's how I know I'm saved. When I hear my Lord exalted, when I hear Him being lifted up, extolled made high, something in here cries out, Amen, agrees with that exaltation. It's not because I'm in the assembly, not because I carry a big Bible. When I hear my Lord well spoken of, something in here agrees. But the name Obed has a second meaning. It means servant. Dear one, if you and I were linked with Christ, what is the outcome? Worship. Trying to do a little bit for it. He's a bad man. Worship, service. From that union between Christ and me, I look, He looks, we were one forever. From that union, there should be worship. There should be service. Is He getting it from my life? At the best time. Is He getting it from your life? On bended knees at your bedside, do you pour your heart out in adoration, praise, thanksgiving? Sometimes, words fail in the presence of God, and only the tears can express the little that we do love. Worship. Service. That's the proof of redemption. I guess it was a pleasing redemption. Dear Naomi was well pleased, wasn't he? She was like Simeon in the New Testament. She took that little babe into her arms. No, Simeon said, I can die now. And mine eyes have seen thyself. And I only took that little child. I think she was fully restored then. She was back to Bethlehem. Ruth was satisfied, wasn't she? Ruth was. Ah, she was brought from a far country, never dreamt that one day she'd be in the heart and the home of God. Lord, we pray. So, God is faithful, not only to escape hell, thank God, but He wants grace. He wants that. May we get. Our gracious Father, close of another Sunday evening, we bow our heads. We acknowledge freely that we've been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. You're not your own. Father, whatever is left of this life, few years are next. Take it. Glorify thyself. O God, may some young soul offer themselves. Lord, it's yours. Take my all in consecration. commend ourselves to thee. Blessed. O God, make us in some little measure more appreciative of the work of the cross. We lost our freedom. We lost our inheritance. We lost our religion. But in Christ, we have much more. No Old Testament saint could call God his Father. Still the feeblest, the weakest child of God can say, Our Father, Abba Father, bless thy people here. Encourage them to go on. We ask it. Worthy.